SOP 204. Does the time it take to put together a podcast, is it really worth it?
It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
All right, welcome aboard. I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you very much for tuning in to this first episode of 2010. This is the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. This is where we talk about all things podcasting. Our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. You can email me, Dave at schoolofpodcasting.com, and you can call in your comments courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. It's 888-563-3228. And of course, if you need to hear that again, hit rewind. It's a podcast, baby. And also, got to let you know, I apologize. I am still battling a cold. I got sick shortly after Christmas and have been up and down and up and down. About the time I think I'm up today, I'm back to sniffling and coughing. And so if you're wondering where I've been between the holidays and such, I have just been slammed. And when I wasn't slammed, I was slammed on my back trying to get healthy. So I'm glad to be back. Thank you very much for listening. Thought I would share a couple blog posts I found about podcasting this week. And one of them was, there's a radio industry blog called Radio Survivor, and it's calling podcasting one of the most important radio trends of the last 10 years. They say it's fair to say that the emergence of podcasting revitalized online radio and even audio programs in general, in the same way that TiVo or PVRs breathe new life into television. Podcasting suddenly gave listeners the ability to mold their intake of audio programming to their own schedule, better known as time shifting. Right. At the same time, RSS podcast feeds made it much easier to index. Much easier? Some people are saying it's too hard, but no, it's much easier to index podcasts and create easily searchable online directories organized by genre and keyword. It's that innovation which stimulated an onslaught of podcasts and podcast production. So there you go. One of the top 10 trends of radio. And I got to tell you, I've probably spent about 6 hours in the car. Probably another reason why I'm sick. I'm not slowing down. And I would say right now, the biggest competitor to podcasting is Pandora. Pandora I have on my phone now. And I was listening to podcasts, and I was with my wife, and she's not a huge fan of podcasts because the ones I listen to are all about marketing and podcasts and no agenda. I'm starting to listen to Just My Show, which is an interesting podcast if you're older like me. I'm in my 40s, and I've been listening to Edgy Podcast Reviews, which is how I found about Just My Show. That's some podcast you might want to check out. And so we fired up my phone, and I hit Pandora, and one of the things I got for Christmas was a new car stereo that I can plug my iPod directly into it, or anything like my phone. Just got that 1/8-inch stereo plug in the front that makes life very, very cool. And we listened to Pandora on the way down. If you haven't checked it out, Pandora is very cool. You basically have a computer give you songs, and if you like it, you say, "Yes, I do," and it says, "Well, what kind of song was this?" and it finds other songs like it. So it's very, very cool. And if somebody said, what's the biggest, you know, in the same way that podcasting is not going to make radio go away, I think you always have radio. But I think the combination of podcasting and internet radio, that's going to take a bite out of regular radio. And it's an HD. I now have been able to listen to HD radio. Nothing like listening to the same old crap on a new station. Or in some cases, in Spanish. Wasn't impressed with HD radio. Got a blog post from, if you've ever listened to For Immediate Release, it's a great podcast, very niche podcast, about people that are in the publicity kind of end of things. And I'm just going to read this, and I'll have a link to this out in the show notes. It says, my friend and colleague Neville Hobson and I just wrapped up recording of episode number 514 of our twice weekly podcast For Immediate Release. It's an auspicious episode, the fifth anniversary of 4 Media Releases' launch on January 3rd, 2005. Neville blogged eloquently about the anniversary in a post on the actual anniversary yesterday. Obviously, this was a couple days ago. Actually, about a week ago. As I waited for Adobe Audition to process the WAV file to eliminate background noise, always the longest part of post-production. And if you're like, Adobe Audition, that's like $300. That's the Cadillac of recording. I don't use Adobe Audition. I'm not that, and maybe it's obvious, he said here, sitting here sniffling with a snow nose. I'm not that worried about audio. I think your audio quality should be as good as you can get, but I've also realized that I'm the kind of person that can just never be happy with my audio, so I don't go that crazy with it. I pondered the question and commented post most often about 4 Media Release, better known as FIR, which has to do with the amount of time it takes to produce 2 episodes each week, not to mention interviews and other 4 Media Release content, and how Neville and I are able to maintain the commitment to the show. They put out 2 shows a week. So there are several answers to this. Our listeners, he says, a year ago, we were late getting an episode published, not days late, not hours late, yet we heard from several listeners wondering where it was. Okay, they were hours late. Not having the latest 4 Media Release was a disruption to their routines. He says, I think it was Mitch Joel who told us that he counted on FIR on Mondays and Thursdays to keep his mind occupied while he was on the treadmill. Neville and I always viewed 4 Media Release as a listener-driven show. Our listeners are the most important dimension of the podcast. Key point there. It's all about the listeners. I just listened to an episode of Podcast Answer Man, a buddy of mine, Cliff Ravenscraft, and I even sent an email to Cliff that said, you know, dude, sometimes you take so long to get to the topic, and he kind of pimps himself and this and that, and other listeners called him basically on the same thing, and to Cliff's credit, he said, wow, thank you so much for your feedback. I will change the show. I apologize. You're right. Some of these shows were crap, and he has since turned it around. It's all about the listener, because if you don't have any listeners, I'm just talking into an empty mic, right? So that's a great tip there. Mutual respect is another thing they talk about. The fact that the show is co-hosted makes it much harder to shrug off producing an episode. We have a set time for recording the show, 9 a.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. in the UK. So they're actually doing a podcast from different continents. Each of us knows the other has planned to be ready, so if one of us opts not to do an episode, it leaves the other one hanging out to dry. As a result, we have fallen into the habit of being ready. This is a little bit, I'm going to comment on this now, it's a little bit like weight loss. I do a weight loss show. If you've added weight loss to your New Year's resolutions, go over to logicalloss.com. It's a logical weight loss podcast, and that's true for weight loss. If you can have somebody kind of jump into the process with you, you can hold each other accountable. The other thing they mentioned here, staying current. He says, I can't speak for Neville, but for me, 4 Media Release is the catalyst for staying on top of the news and trends that drive the communications profession, which is what their podcast is about. He says, for each episode, I review well over 100 RSS feeds that keep me up to date on blog posts and news stories that match a wide range of keywords. Much has been written lately about the demise of the RSS news reader since people find out what's going on through real-time resources, notably Twitter. He says, for me, Twitter is simply inadequate since I won't get the comprehensive overview I need in order to plan the story. He says, I'll cover it on 4 Media Release. As a result, I'm generally on top of the news and trends, which certainly aids my consulting practice. So here, he talks about the fact that his podcast listeners are probably feeding him information. Did you hear about this story? Did you hear about this story? So he keeps up to date with the latest news. And by being on top of the latest trends, it makes him sound, well, he is. It doesn't make him sound. He is. He's intelligent. He's up to date. And he's now a leader in his field in communications, which he leads him to his next point here. Client works. Speaking of clients, several have asked me for help with podcasting based on my experience with 4 Media Release. I don't for a minute believe business podcasting is dead, particularly as an internal communications medium. Yeah, internally, think about it. Why are you having your salespeople come from their house, drive all the way to the office, just so you can hand them the latest sales results, say, hey, this month wasn't bad, you can do better, let's get out there and knock on some doors, and then you got to pay them mileage to go all the way back out. They go to all the way back out to their territory, which in some cases they live by their territory, so you're paying them to come to the office, you're paying them mileage. Why not just have a podcast and podcast the latest sales numbers and attaboy kind of stuff, right? It says, I'm delighted to be able to offer expertise gained by doing the show as a service. In fact, developing the expertise was the primary motivation for starting For Immediate Release back when it was first conceived back in September or so of 2004. So yes, in fact, I would say a big chunk of the people that come to the School of Podcasting do it in some cases not to start a podcast, but to simply be a podcast consultant, of which I would say, if you're going to be a podcast consultant, you should start a podcast, because you kind of lose credibility if you don't have a podcast. Commitment to podcasts. He says, when it comes to podcasting as a medium, I'm a true believer. No, it never exploded the way microblogging or social media networks have, or social networks, excuse me, by the number of, but the number of podcasts, the adoption of podcasting by mainstream media and the number of listeners continues to grow incrementally, not to mention general public awareness of the medium. I love the idea of niche-oriented shows that appeal to smaller audiences than are required to support radio or television shows. I have become a podcaster, and I just can't imagine not doing it. Now, he mentions that they spend 14 hours a week on their two episodes. That is 7 hours a show, and this is how they break it down. For 14 hours a week, 1.5 hours for research, a half hour for an outline. So they have, he says, we maintain our outline in Google Wave, by the way. 2 hours of pre-production, which is you're preparing the stories and you're managing audio comments from listeners. Then the actual show is recorded an hour and a half, and then they do an hour and a half of post-production. So if the show is an hour and a half, I usually time that by four. That would be 6 hours. They're saying 14. Apparently they must do a lot of post-production. I'm not really sure. And especially if they have a big audience, which it sounds like they do, editing audio comments might actually take a while. But here's somebody that's saying, look, it takes me 14 hours to do two shows. And again, for me, that's insane. I'll have to go listen to the podcast just to see exactly what they're doing. But nonetheless, that's to me, if you do an hour and a half shows. Wait a minute. Let me get my notes here again. Recording is 1.5 hours. Yeah, to me, you shouldn't be spending more than 6 hours to actually put out the podcast, record it, things like that. But like he said, he's looking at 100 blogs. He's doing a lot of research. But that also probably sounds like it's resulting in phenomenal content, which is what will make you stand out. But very interesting article. Great tips from that. And I will put a link to For Immediate Release out in the show notes if you want to check it out. Again, there it's a podcast about the communications field, which I'm not really a part of, but I might check it out. And I've heard other people mention it in the past. So if you're ready to start a podcast, I highly urge you to go to theschoolofpodcasting.com. We've got tutorials. We've got step-by-step tutorials. We've got resources. So if you're looking for background music or ways to sell your podcast, things like that, it's all there, as well as the webinars are coming back finally. They kind of took a hiatus around the holiday times. And of course, with me sick, that kind of put things on a hold as well. But those are coming back. And so you can look for those in the future at theschoolofpodcasting.com. I want to thank you very much for tuning in. Let me remind you that if you haven't started a podcast yet, well, the more or longer you wait, the better chance that your competition is. And they're going to get that jump on you. And, you know, now's the time to start. 2010 could be the year you launch your podcast, and I can help you do it in the right way. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me. My phone number again, 888-563-3228. Our website is schoolofpodcasting.com, and you can email me, Dave, @schoolofpodcasting.com. And until next week, Class dismissed.